Hart gecheckt wird euch präsentiert von Prechtl. Regional einkaufen und genießen. Deine Supermärkte in der Region Rosenheim.
Hart gecheckt. Der Podcast zu den Star Bulls Rosenheim. Präsentiert von der OVB Sportredaktion.
Servus, liebe Eishockey-Freunde. Jetzt wird wieder hart gecheckt und zwar in der 86. Folge des Podcasts über die Star Wars Rosenheim von und mit der OVB Sportredaktion. Aufgezeichnet wurde diese Folge am Montag, 22. Dezember, erstmals ausgestrahlt an Heiligabend und deshalb erst einmal der Gruß an alle Hörer. Frohe Weihnachten an alle. Habt ein gesegnetes Fest. Wir, das sind Thomas Neumeier und Marco Aleksic von der OVB Sportredaktion, freuen uns sehr auf diese Folge. Denn wir haben uns im Vorfeld schon mal selbst beschenkt und zwar mit einem ganz besonderen Gast. Herzlich willkommen dem Torhüter der Star Wars Rosenheim, Oskar Autio. Servus.
Servus.
In our last episode, we asked you about your German skills and how are the things looking 9 months later?
I would say they're looking, there's improvement. I'll put it that way. There's improvement, still not perfect. But I'm working hard. I feel like I'm learning a lot. But speaking Deutsch is still a little bit tough for me. Mm-hmm. But I actually understand quite a bit, and so that's a pretty cool feeling when you hear guys around you or people around you speaking German, and you kind of know what's going on. But I always tell everyone that hopefully in a couple of years I can be part of those conversations in German as well.
You know what's going on when they speak German? Do you know what's going on when Maxi Vollmeier speaks Bavarian?
No, see, that's when I get lost. I've been telling Foley that I understand as much of his Bavarian as he does of my Finnish. So we try to keep it in normal Deutsch, so to speak.
Okay.
But when the fans sing, "Wir wollen den Derby Sieg," do you understand that by now?
we do understand. I feel like I'm kind of getting a hang on some of the songs that they sing, but the Derby Sieg one is good because obviously that's after the game, so you can kind of focus on the fans and listen to them.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff that's during the game, you're kind of trying not to focus on what's going on in the crowd, but that's definitely one that feels pretty good.
You can try it in singing some fan chants during the game.
I'll, you know what, the fans do such a good job, so I'll leave that to them.
Okay. Yeah, the Derby Sieg. It was real. And what was the mood after the Sunday win?
It was very good. It was very good. It's obviously very, very special to beat Landshut. It's special to win on the road and get 3 points on the road because every team is good in this league. But of course, the Landshut games are a little bit more special than all the other ones. They're always circled in the calendar, and you can kind of just feel it in the locker room. Feel it obviously with the fans and the atmosphere in the rink and everything. It's just, it's so special to play those games and so to come out and get 3 points was good for us. It was a huge thing for our group
Werbung! Thomas, auf dem Eis ist ja für die Star Bulls keine Pause angesagt die nächsten Wochen. Aber außerhalb vom Stadion merkt man schon, bei vielen kehrt jetzt langsam ein bisschen Ruhe ein.
Definitiv. Und genau das ist der Moment, wo Prechtl einfach mal Dankeschön sagen möchte. Bei alle Kundinnen und Kunden fürs vergangene Jahr. Und natürlich wünschen wir frohe Weihnachten und einen guten Start ins neue Jahr.
Und auch wenn sportlich noch Hochbetrieb ist, daheim darf es jetzt dann gern entspannter sein. Und ein bisschen was Gescheites zum Essen gehört natürlich auch dazu.
Das ist natürlich richtig. Und da findet man beim Prechtl einiges. Regionale Käsespezialitäten wie den Ascherjoch Bio-Bierkäse, ein Feinstückel Fleisch für die Feiertag oder auch ein Fisch als leichtere Alternative. Sachen, für die man sich bewusst Zeit nimmt.
Zeit mit der Familie, mit Freunden, einfach das Schönste in den kommenden Tagen.
2026 wird im Juni übrigens der neue Prechtl-Markt in Oberaudorf eröffnet. Darauf freuen wir uns jetzt schon.
Bei Prechtl, da geht's mir gut.
Werbung Ende.
You told us before, that you, when the schedule comes out, you're looking first, where are the Lancet games?
Yeah, for sure. That's the first thing you do in the summer when they release the schedule. You look what the first game of the season is, and then right away, when are the derby games? When do we play Landshut? And especially when we play Landshut at home, because you know that those are the games that are going to be really, really fun.
Yeah, let's rewind a few days. You had three games off. How did you experience those matches? All three of them went into overtime.
Yeah, it was interesting to watch, and I thought the group played pretty well, and sometimes it's a little bit of a weird feeling to kind of sit on the sidelines and not be a part of it. You know, of course you wanna be playing every game, but we all know that that's not realistic. So it was good that we were able to pull out the win in Kassel, and obviously in the Viden game it was a little bit of a tough ending there, but still to come back again and win at home, it kind of shows a lot of character, and same thing again in Landshut now, like they tie it up and go up by one goal, but we're still able to come back and win. So those are the things that I think means a lot to the group, and you know, it just shows that we have a group that really wants to win and really, you know, does the right things, because when it's tough, we still can pull those wins out. So it's been good to it's been fun to be a part of, but it's also fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. How did this comeback mentality, how did this grow?
You know, I think it's just we have so many guys in the locker room, especially this year, where we just have good professionals, like guys who do the right thing day in and day out, and good leadership. And obviously the coaching staff does a good job too of getting the best out of us every day. And so I don't think it's one thing or one guy. I think it's just a collective effort where, you know, we know that we can beat anyone in this league. We really can. And since when I came here my first year, you know, that mentality is maybe switched a little bit, where we know that even if we're down a goal or two, like we can come back and you know, you have the support from the fans and all that stuff. So I think that's the biggest reason. Just we have that belief in the group and what we can do.
When you when you were down in Kassel by two goals and come back, is this the signal for the other games that you can?
I think so, absolutely. And you know, we've been really good in those playing against those top teams. And of course, like I said, every team in this league is really good. But when you go into a tough rink like Kassel or, you know, Krefeld, Landshut, like these ones where you know it's going to be a pretty, pretty hard place to win, and you go there and you not only win the game but come back, you know, I think that gives the group a lot of confidence. And you know, maybe then the next time you're down a goal or two, you kind of think about that and remember that, you know, we've done it before. We've done it in really tough environments and against top teams. So, you know, why not do it again?
Yeah, let's get back to the break you got. How necessary was that for you and for your body?
Yeah, of course. It's you know, like I said, it's you as a player, you want to play every game. That's, I think, every single player wants that. But I think to get the best out of yourself, you need some rest too. And you know, this year we're pretty fortunate that we have two good goalies, and you know, it's something that I think maybe was a little bit of a plan for this year to utilize that and to you know, give both guys that rest that maybe is needed. And I don't think it was a situation where I desperately needed a break or something like that. But I think it's just, being smart like I said, just trying to make sure that the games that I play or Chrissy plays, we're both fresh and at our best. So
I think it's not only a rest for the body, but also for the head.
Yeah, for sure. It was a good timing, because obviously now we have a ton of games, playing three games a week. So it is a lot. It's a lot, for sure, a lot on the body physically, but like you said, it's mentally, it's pretty tough too. You know, you need to kind of charge up and prepare and you know, be at your best every other day. And so it's definitely a challenge. And then when you get a day or two or a game or two that you can just try to, you know, almost like turn that part of your brain off and just focus on doing what you need to in training and just kind of resting, it goes a pretty long way.
Mm. Do you make some special kind of things to calm down?
I don't know, honestly. That's a good question. I would say not really. I think after games, it's usually pretty hard to kind of relax, I guess.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, whether you win or you lose, it's usually somewhat emotional and you know, you kind of get so charged up for the game, so then it's pretty hard to just turn that off once the game's over. But you know, you get better at it the more you play, and I feel like the older I get, the easier it kind of gets to kind of separate the games and the training from the rest of my life, and you know, just to kind of not think too much about that stuff after the games anymore, and just trying to kind of relax and worry about other things in life.
Did you watch all the games, or is it like don't be involved with hockey in that time?
No, you for sure watch them. I mean, I watched all the games and I did not travel to Kassel, which was pretty nice. That was kind of part of it too, to maybe get a weekend without having to travel. But I watched it from home, and which felt very weird too, just not being a part of it at all. But it's also sometimes good. I was talking to one of the guys, and I forget who it was, but I remember he said that it's, you kind of see the game from a different perspective when you're not playing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting, because when you're playing and you're going through it, it's just, you don't really have time to step aside and think about some things. And for me, that's what I've noticed too, is, you know, you notice other things in the teams, and one thing that I for sure noticed at home was just the atmosphere in the arena, and, you know, things like that you don't really have time to focus on when you're playing. But when you're not, it's kind of cool to see some of those things.
Mm-hmm. How is it when you're watching the Kassel game from at home? Legs up high and some cracker and
no, it's I would say I'm pretty, when you watch your own team, you're pretty, it's pretty intense, I guess.
Yeah.
You're
nervous?
Yeah. I would say I'm definitely more nervous watching than playing.
Yeah. You're screaming and shouting.
definitely, yeah. I mean, you feel, okay. It's a weird thing, because you feel like a fan, you know, but obviously it's, so it's different for sure. It's different watching your own team play versus just watching, you know, some other hockey game.
I have the picture Oscar at home with shirt and scarf and screaming.
yeah. I was definitely as much of a fan as everyone else watching that game.
Then came the two home games against Bad Nauheim and Weiden. Was all that suspense really necessary?
You know, it's I think Yari actually always says that we're in the business of winning, and you know, that's what I guess matters the most. So obviously, maybe neither game exactly how we would have drawn it up and wanted exactly to play, but again, you know, whenever you can get wins, it's important, and that matters the most. Sometimes you play really well and you win, and sometimes you don't play perfect, but you still are able to win. And I think it's one of those things where you obviously want to improve and want to play as well as you can. But at the same time, like, it also shows something about the team when maybe you're not playing perfect hockey and you can still win games. You know, in the past, I've definitely been a part of those teams where if you're not playing at your best, you're losing. And then, you know, that's tough. So I think it's a good sign that we can win when we're not perfect. But of course, we look at those games and try and evolve and grow throughout the year. So when the time comes, we're heading towards the right direction.
We speak about the mentality of the comebacks. When you are in the overtime and win and win and win, it's also a mentality thing.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, it's. I feel like we've always been a pretty good overtime team, and we have a couple of guys who I think are very good in overtime. You know, like Shane Hanna is one example of, you want him out there on overtime, you know that he's such a skilled guy and makes such good plays and can just by himself, you know, end the game, and which he's done many times.
I called him Machine.
Yeah, exactly. So it's definitely easier when you have guys like that. But like you said, it's also one of those things where you definitely need belief, and you, whenever you go to overtime, like, usually the other team ties it up late or it's been a tight game, and so you need that extra little push to win it and to get that extra point. And you know, this year obviously we've had that, so it's a really good thing.
You were back in a goal on Sunday against Landshut. You said it before, it's special for you, but what does the derby win really mean to you?
You know, it means a lot. I mean, it was something that I haven't really seen before coming here, how much a derby can actually mean to a team or the fans or whatnot. And it's like I said, it's those are the games that you always know when they are. You know, oh, well, we play Landshut in 3 weekends or whatever. So it's important for us. And at the end of the day, like, it is just one game, and it means, like, point wise, it means as much as every other game. But I think for me, like, I always think of it about it as, it means so much to the fans and to the organization and to everyone involved. And that's what makes it so special. And that's what makes us want to win those games a little bit more. You know, you're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for the fans, and you're doing it for the organization and everyone around us, because we see and we understand how much it means. And so, you know, that's why it means a lot for us, and why we're very happy when we can win those derby games, for sure.
The game started very well with the early goal of CJ, from CJ. I think it gives you a little bit confidence. I think the first period or the first 30 minutes, Stables were very dominant.
Yeah, we came out really well, and that was a huge goal from CJ there. I think we were expecting them to come out really, really hot, and we know that obviously going into Landshut for a derby game, it's going to be a pretty hostile environment. So it's not usually not the easiest first 10, 15 minutes of the game. But, you know, we were ready for it, clearly. And an early goal like that is gives you a big boost. And I think we just kind of didn't worry about the outside noise or any of that. We just wanted to play our game and show everyone that we're gonna win this one.
Hmm. Yeah, Landshut equalized in end of the first period, but in the second period you started even earlier with the second goal. But then Landshut came back with two goals. Why did you guys give away the lead?
You know, obviously it's something that you don't want to give up a one goal lead like that, but you know, Landshut's a good team, and I thought we were on top of the game for most of it. I think they had their moments as well, but we played really well, and they have some very good players on that team. You know, you give them a couple chances and they're pretty dangerous. And you know, obviously, 2-2 goal, we kind of did that, and they utilized that chance, and then a little bit of a broken play off the faceoff. It, you know, that happens in hockey sometimes. I don't think it's, you know, you don't draw that kind of stuff up, but sometimes it hits a stick or bounces one way, and that happens. And obviously, you don't want to give up that lead. You don't want them to tie it up. You don't want them to go up front. But again, like I said, that's a very easy place for a team to kind of sit back and say, okay, well, you know, stuff didn't go our way. Bad bounds. They came back. You know, they have a good atmosphere and support from their fans. But instead, you know, for us, we wanted to win that game, and so we came back. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
It was bad luck for the third goal. It was Willis' stick, I think.
Yeah, I believe so. It was right off the faceoff, and yeah, it hit his stick, and I think it might have even gone off the ice after that. So it was a little bit of a weird bounce. But you know, like I said, it's sometimes it feels like bounces like that are happening, and they're not going your way, and you know, other times it feels like they are going your way, and you know, instead of hitting a stick and going in, it's going in and it hits a stick and doesn't, right? Yeah. And so I think it all evens out in the end, and you know, I'm a big believer in kind of like you, there's luck and stuff like that involved, of course, but you also, I guess, create your own bounces. So if you do things the right way, play the right way, then at the end of the day, it either evens out or goes your way. And you know, that was a bad bounce, but maybe, you know, we played the right way enough to get a couple back then.
Sometimes it seems like when nothing else works, then there's Shane Hanna. It's incredible what he does, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, he's such a fun guy to be around, because like you called him machine or machine, that's honestly what he is. Like he works so hard every single day. He is, you know, if not the most professional guy, one of the most professional guys in that locker room. And just the way he takes care of his body and you know, all that stuff. And so it's fun, because like, it makes me happy to see him do so well and do special things on the ice, because he deserves it, and because he, you know, how much work he puts in every single day. And for us, it's obviously so nice to have him. I think he's the best defenseman in this league, and so having a guy like that playing in front of you is awesome. And you know, like I said, sometimes he does his things and just goes coast to coast and scores, which is pretty cool. So
he has such a confidence, and he's so calm. And do you get emotions from him after such a goal?
I think he had a little bit of a celebration after the goal in Landshut, but you know, he's a very, very calm guy. He's a very nice guy. You know, everyone loves him in the locker room, and yeah, just. such a professional guy. I think he's never too high and never too low. Mm. You know, he stays pretty even the whole time, and
he has the focus on the things.
For sure, yeah. He's dialed in all the time, and that's something that I think is pretty hard to do, honestly, throughout a game, throughout a season, but with him it seems to come pretty naturally.
How did you experience the game-winning goal?
I mean, we got a power play, and I think there was a little less than a minute left in the third, and so I was just kind of obviously hoping that we can get one, and I kind of honestly missed it a little bit. Because it was down in the other end, and it kind of trickled through Langmann, but it kind of looked like he had made the save first. So I think I was a little late in my response or in my celebration, but felt pretty good. And once it went in, you know, you're kind of just looking at the clock and thinking, okay, you know, this is how much longer we need to hold it together to pull out the win. And good thing that we did.
And tell us, which player was the biggest party animal after the game?
Well, not a ton of partying, because you know, obviously we play tomorrow again, so it was more of a cool down and eat and go home. But so you know, it's a little bit different when you're playing every other day. There's not a ton of partying or celebrating going on. Obviously it feels good to win, and you know, take the energy from that win, yeah. I guess. And the vibe in the locker room is pretty high and was very high, and everyone's super happy. But, you know, I think you enjoy that for the rest of the day, and then you kind of realize that you turn the page and move on to the next one.
After a win against Lancet.
Yeah, you also had a new defenseman in front of you, Leon van der Linde. How would you rate his performance?
I think he's been pretty solid. You know, he's making some good plays, and we obviously having Joel out last game, I thought he was able to step in pretty well there and play a really good game. Making good plays and looks pretty confident. So I think he's a good addition to the team. And you know, this time of the year, you're playing so much, you have so many games. So with stuff going on, it always helps to have guys like that who can play and do a good job out there.
How quickly can you adjust to a new defenseman as a goalie? Or do you have to adjust to a new defenseman?
I think it's pretty easy. I think it's harder for the players to adjust to the systems. Mm-hmm. But obviously there's small things that maybe, you know, with some rims or plays behind the net or something like that, that you might have to talk through or talk about. But, you know, the goalie just kind of does his own thing and stops the puck, and the defenseman does there, so it shouldn't be too much of an issue ever.
The beginning of the third period, there was a medical emergency. There was a break in the game. How did you feel, or what were you doing in this time?
Yeah, it was pretty obviously devastating to see. Whenever something like that happens, it kind of takes you back a little bit, I guess, or pauses things for a while, which it certainly did. You know, that was... The rink went quiet, and you know, there's not a quiet second in a derby game, no. Right? It's definitely devastating to see, and you know, hopefully everything's okay with whoever that was. I think you're kind of just let the moment sink in, just like everyone else in the arena during that time, and you hope for the best for that person, and then once the game gets going again, you kind of just have to try and pull yourself back into the game and do your job, which is to play hockey and continue to play hockey. So that was kind of it. But I thought it was pretty cool how then the fans, our fans and their fans, kind of started a chant and was united for a little bit until going up against each other again. But I thought that was a pretty cool moment.
Yeah, the goalie group has changed quite a bit this year. How is it like with Christopher Kollatz and Anton Röcke?
It's been really nice. I was able to be with Chrissy my first year in Rosenheim. He was on the team, and that was a very short time, but I remember that we got along really well, and now it's been really, really great. You know, we push each other, and I think he's been really good for us all year. And you know, I remember seeing him back then, and now it's been really cool to see how much he's gone forward, and like I said, it's nice because we push each other, and I think we both make each other better, but at the same time we're really close, and you know, we're good friends, and it's really fun to be around him. He's a very positive guy, and it's nice to have that kind of relationship where if I'm thinking about something, you know, on the ice or off the ice as well, then you kind of talk about it and you try and help each other out. And it's, you know, goalies are, I always like to think that we're not that different, but when it comes to goaltending, obviously no one else really in the locker room understands that stuff. So it's really nice to have him, and Anton as well. You know, he's been with us obviously a little bit less, but when he's there, he's good, and he's works hard and does what he can, and it's a fun group to be around, and it's a little bit different. You know, it's the first time that I'm the oldest one, so I don't know how that makes me feel, but but it's been good. It's been very positive.
What kind of advice can you give Anton?
You know, I try to. He's a good kid in that sense where he asks a lot of questions. That was something that I noticed right away. I think he's really trying to learn from Chrissy and from me. And you know, you try to give your best advice or I guess my opinion. But you know, I'm not perfect either, so I just try to tell him how I view the game or stuff like that. And at the end of the day, it's everyone needs to go their own path, and also as goalies, like none of us play exactly alike, but it's cool when you can talk about certain situations. And you know, there's a lot of times where you know someone asks a question about a situation or whatever, and we're all kind of just sitting there wondering what the right answer is, or if there even is a right answer. And you know, that stuff's important, and it's been really good both with Anton and with Chrissy this year.
It's the best thing what a young guy can do, asking questions.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's good. And you know, I remember, it's not that long ago, but when I was, you know, the young goalie and first kind of steps into professional hockey, and I remember I was trying to kind of do that too, just be a sponge and learn from the other guys. And obviously you don't want to try and copy your game after someone or copy exactly what someone does, but I know there's a lot of things both on and off the ice that I've seen older guys who I've been with when I was younger in my career that I've seen them do and tried it out and noticed that, okay, that's pretty good, you know, or stuff like that. So it's definitely smart of him that he's doing that.
Who were those guys in your opinion?
Well, I was actually fortunate enough to train in the summer in Espoo when I was younger with some really, really good goalies. You know, pro goalies from Finland that are, you know, that NHL goalies and KHL and guys like that. And I don't think there was one goalie in particular that I tried to learn from, but there has been a lot of guys that you know, you kind of just see them do something and you're like, okay, that's interesting, or you know, maybe I should try that out. Or you see them play a certain way on the ice and then you kind of talk about it and you're like, okay, that's interesting, like what are you thinking here, or you know, why are you doing that? And you know, asking those questions, seeing those things kind of makes you grow too, and I think that's what it's all about. You know, you learn from each other and no one's perfect. So
Also the Finnish group has grown this year. Timo Pulkkinen joined a few weeks ago. Did you know him as a player before?
I did, for sure. I mean, he's such a good player, and he's a little bit older than I am, so I actually didn't personally know him before he came here, but he's definitely someone that I think most people in Finland know what kind of a player he is and what he's done in his career. You know, he's played in the NHL, the KHL, and you know, it's pretty impressive what he's done. So I definitely knew he was going to be a really, really good player for us.
What were your thoughts when you knew he will come to Rosenheim?
I heard a couple days before it got official, I heard that there's a chance that he might come here. And we talked about it with Villa, and we were both pretty excited. You know, we were almost, you know, just trying to, we were thinking like, is there anything we can do to make sure it happens that we get him here to Rosenheim? But, you know, we were pretty excited when we heard that it's official. And obviously him being Finnish, and we'll take all the additions to the Finnish group. We like having Finns here, and it's nice for us. But just as a hockey player too, you know, we knew that we're getting a really, really good player in him. So we were really happy.
What is it like in practice when he's shooting? I mean, he has a
it's not fun for the players to try and block his shot. That's for sure. It's something that I knew, actually, that was one of the things that I knew about him, that he has a really good shot. He uses it in practice, not as much as I think he's smart about it too, where he doesn't want to hurt anyone out there, but it's pretty crazy. And you obviously try and make the same when you can, but it's not that easy.
He's a little bit home in the world. He was in the USA or in Canada and in Russia and in Schwenningen. He knows Germany a little bit, but in Rosenheim, how do you help him to settle in here?
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of it. Like, I've tried to obviously help him. He's just like we were talking about Anton, you know, like he's also been asking a lot of questions.
But he's the older guy.
He is the older guy, but, and this is not hockey related. This is more just, I guess, life related, where, you know, questions about Germany and Rosenheim and stuff. And, you know, I've tried to help him and make sure he settles in as well as possible. But like you said, he's been all over the place and played in a lot of different countries and cities. And so you can kind of tell that he's not too worried about moving somewhere to somewhere new. He's been through it, and he's a pro. So he's settling in pretty well, I think.
Yeah, it's the second time for you in our podcast today. You were a guest earlier this year, and you said that you are taking online courses to finish your master's degree. How is it going with that?
It's kind of like my Deutsch. It's a little bit slow. we're making some progress, but it's obviously my main focus is playing hockey, and you know, this is my job, and it's something that I did for many years. I played hockey and was a college student at the same time. So it's something that I can do, but it's also a little bit different now that it is professional hockey, and the schedule is a little different and so on. But you know, I like having the option of sometimes kind of just, I guess, turning my brain off from hockey and focusing on a college class or, you know, stuff like that. So I think it almost helps me at times, where you kind of have something else. You know, you're not just focused on hockey 24/7, 7 days a week. You know, maybe you can take 2 or 3 hours in an off day and kind of just tell yourself that now I'm not a hockey player. Now I'm focusing on, you know, whatever college class I have going on. So it's good. It's good that I have it, but it's definitely not my main focus, but it's something that.
Okay. Now we look a little bit forward. It's Christmas time. What were the Christmas traditions like in the Outio family?
I've actually not been able to spend Christmas at home for a very long time, just because I was living in the U.S. for so many years and now here in Germany. So,
how was it as a child?
As a child, a lot of good memories, and I don't think much has changed since then. Obviously, me and my brothers grew up, so we're not little kids anymore. You know, but we would always just enjoy being together. You know, when we were kids, both my older brothers played hockey as well. So it tends to be pretty busy, pretty hectic throughout the year. And then Christmas was one of those times where we all could just kind of relax and be together and light a couple candles and relax and have a good dinner or good meals. And so I think that was probably for our family the most important.
What's your best or funniest Christmas memory?
That's a good one. I mean, I would say, I don't know if it's funny, but when my first Christmas in the U.S. was pretty interesting, for just because it was the first Christmas away from home. You know, you're so used to, your whole life you've been living in your home country and just spending time with your family. And so to just see how other people celebrate Christmas and how people from in another country celebrate Christmas. And I guess it's not that different, but I guess that would be, for me, that was a pretty cool thing to see. And even now here in Germany, you know, it's a little bit different, I guess. So it's just cool seeing how it's a little bit different all over the place and small traditions. And you know, like here you have the Christmas monster or whatever.
Krampus.
Yeah, Krampus, exactly. So I don't know, it's just stuff like that that's just, you know, interesting to see how different areas and different countries have traditions, and I've been very fortunate to see a lot of them. So
we have the Krampus here, you know, the Grinch from the U.S.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've watched the Grinch in the U.S. with my teammates on Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, like stuff like that you would never do in Finland.
Yeah.
And probably not here either. So that was an experience. And here, you know, I remember seeing Krampus for the first time at one of the Christmas markets, and that's something you don't see.
Were you afraid of him?
No, I was thinking, I was wondering what's going on. Why is this monster walking around the Christmas market? But you know, it's funny. I love it, and that's what's so cool about, you know, living in another country, is just to see different things, new things, and embrace it and be a part of it.
Which of the traditions from Finland would you import to you here?
Christmas traditions, I don't know if this is a Christmas tradition. I feel like we would do this when we were younger, and it's just the most Finnish thing just in general, but just taking a sauna. You know, it was
always the sauna.
Yeah, I absolutely love the sauna, and that's probably besides my family and friends, I would say the thing that I miss the most sometimes is just a good, real Finnish sauna.
Okay.
And that's what we would do usually during Christmas. You know, you go out in the snow and then you go take a nice sauna, and it's, that was part of the deal.
There is no snow here at the moment.
Yes, I know. I know. I can live without the snow, but the sauna.
Not
would
with
be
the sauna.
Nice. Yeah.
Where do you go to the sauna? Do you have some own sauna?
In Finland or here? In Finland, I mean, every person has their own sauna. Like,
okay.
I saw a thing where there's actually more saunas in Finland than there is people. So it's apartments have saunas, every ice rink, every, you know, anything has a sauna. And it's very, very deep in the Finnish culture.
Yeah.
And I mean, whenever I'm home, like I take a sauna almost every day. It's just part of what you do, and I think it's so relaxing and it's so good for you. So,
first sauna and then the presents, or is it different?
I would say presence first. If I got to choose now, I would probably have a nice, really nice Christmas dinner and maybe open a couple presents and then you relax a little bit and maybe take a sauna and just shut it down for the day. That sounds pretty good to me.
Is there a Christmas gift that you still remember today? Goalie mask or something?
Yeah, I was just going to say probably pretty popular answer, but I remember my first set of pads that I got. I was pretty young still. And, you know, in Finland, when you start playing hockey, it's probably similar here. You rotate with the goalies and our team just had a set of goalie gear that then whoever was the goalie that week would take it and use it. And then, you know, the next one got it. And I started establishing myself as a goalie and I was more often goaltending. And then I talked to my parents for a really, really long time that I would love to have my own set of hockey pads. And they're pretty expensive and I was still pretty young. So I'm sure they were thinking that they they don't want to maybe make that investment. But I remember it was a black CCM pads and, you know, they brought them out. They weren't wrapped. They were kind of just so big. So they just brought them out and I was very, very happy. Very happy kid. And I remember for the rest of that night, I was probably sitting in the living room with the pads on. So it was that's one that I'll definitely remember forever.
Yeah, it was clearly a good investment.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe looking back at it now, it was good that they made the purchase.
But you told us about your two older brothers. Scott Faser was here a few weeks before, and he has also one older brother, and he told us the story when they were playing with the mini sticks in the house, and they checked him hard, and there was a hole in the wall. Was there some similar things in your family?
That sounds very, very similar. That sounds exactly what we had. I'm so lucky that I have two older brothers. Okay. I think it's such a great gift to have that, and to, you know, I've always looked up to my brothers and learned so much from them. Also been through a tough school with them, you know. They kept me honest and they definitely showed me the right track and so many things in life, and one of those was definitely hockey. And you know, I think I've probably said it here even before, but I was always the goalie because I was the youngest one, yeah. Right? And they needed someone to shoot on. But some of those playing mini sticks at home, or we actually had a driveway and a pretty big garage door. So we would put a hockey net in front of the garage door, and, you know, I would strap on the pads and they would be, they'd be shooting. So those are some of the memories that are very, very good and just something that we loved doing as kids.
And the holes in the wall?
And, you know, that I'm sure my parents weren't too happy about that sometimes. You know, a couple broken windows and a lot of a lot of dents, a lot of holes in the walls, but the three of us loved it and I think at the end of the day, you know, if we're happier, our parents are happy too. So
So back to Christmas.
I guess you're spending Christmas in Rosenheim again this year. What are your plans for Christmas?
Well, we play every other day now, so not a ton of time off. I think right now we've just, you know, we were all really focused on the Landshut game. That was a big thing, and now my mom's here visiting, so gonna spend it with my mom and maybe a couple of maybe the Finns and have dinner together and just relax for a day or two. And but at the same time, obviously, we know that on the 26th we're playing in Krefeld, so it's not that much time off. You know, you kind of relax a little bit and enjoy the time, but at the same time, we have a job to do tomorrow. We have a job to do in Krefeld and Bietigheim after that. So to a certain extent, you still have to stay dialed in for those.
When you have the long journey, is it then good that you have a home game before the 24th?
Yeah, for sure. It's nice that we get to play at home and be Christmas Eve in Rosenheim at home and not having to travel back anywhere. So that's nice, and you know, hopefully everyone can kind of take that Christmas Eve and just, you know, take a breath and spend time with their families and you know, then on the 26th it comes pretty quick. So you know, days like that are important.
What will be on the table for Christmas dinner?
To be honest, like, we last year we were fortunate enough to go to CJ's family Christmas dinner and join them. Big shout out to CJ's wife, Kristen. She's a great cook, and she made a good dinner then. And we were talking about them coming over, and maybe she'll help out with the cooking. So we'll see what we come up with. I would say that I will not be the head chef for this for this operation, but we'll see. I guess we've been more focused on the games and less focused on the cooking, but I'm sure we'll get a pretty good dinner.
You will be the last one in the kitchen who makes the big save then.
Exactly.
Finland, the home of Santa Claus, Rovaniemi. It's not near Espoo. It's a long way. Have you played in Rovaniemi?
No, I've actually never been to Rovaniemi or, okay, you know, up north in Finland, which is crazy. Like, I've never been on the other side of Finland. Like, the most northern town I've been in is Oulu, which is a couple hours south from yeah, Rovaniemi. So that's the most northern team that I've played and the most northern city that I've ever been at. But I would want to go. I really would. And you're right, Santa Claus does come from Finland. That's mm-hmm, something that us Finns are proud of. And I've heard that the Santa Claus village that's in Rovaniemi is pretty cool. And I know there's a lot of tourists there this time of the year. So something that I guess us Finns can take a little bit of pride in.
And there's no Krampus.
There's no Krampus running around there. So I guess I would say that I prefer Santa Claus over Krampus. But like I said, it's fun to see the different Christmas traditions, and you know, I feel like when I'm here, I'm embracing the traditions here in Rosenheim and Bavaria. So, you know, this year it'll be those traditions then.
Okay, and at the least we found something crazy. He wasn't in North Finland.
There it is.
The first crazy thing about, yeah, Oscar out here.
Truth comes out.
Oscar, Merry Christmas. Have a good time with the family, and thank you for being here. Second time, a pleasure. And I switch in German. Das war Hart gecheckt, Folge 86. Die Star Wars spielen am zweiten Weihnachtsfeiertag in Krefeld am 28. Dezember in Bietigheim. Und sie schließen das Jahr ab mit einem Heimspiel am 30. Dezember gegen Regensburg. Alles zu diesen Spielen gibt es natürlich auf den sozialen Kanälen von OVB Media, und die aktuellen Analysen, Fotos und Meinungen und Stimmen gibt es dann auch in den OVB Heimatzeitungen. Und das war unsere Weihnachtsfolge. Hart gecheckt meldet sich wieder. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Wir hören uns wieder oder sehen uns live im Stadion. Dankeschön und Servus.
Podcast schon vorbei? Dann gleich noch was einkaufen. Hart gecheckt wurde präsentiert von Prechtl Bad Aibling, Brandenburg, Raubling und Bad Fallenbach. Bis zum nächsten Einkauf und zum nächsten Podcast.